seminar, Strategies for Engaging Children in the Worship Service, was presented at the 2016 Children Desiring God National Conference. Sally Michael is the co-founder of Children Desiring God and has authored many books and curricula. Her ministry has been marked by a passion for developing God-centered resources for the spiritual development of children. Sally and her husband David enjoy spending time with their two daughters and three grandchildren. The notes for this seminar, as well as more information about Children Desiring God curriculum and resources, can be found at www.childrendesiringgod.org.
Thank you for coming to the seminar. This is Strategies for Involving Children in the Worship Service. You know, it really seems odd to me that we're even presenting a seminar on strategies for involving children in the worship service. Because when I was growing up, it was a given that children attended church services with their parents. The parents knew it, and the children knew it. There was no question of whether parents would have their children in the church service. If the parents were churchgoers, the children went to church with them. No one talked about strategies for involving children in the worship service. Families just did it. So, why are we at this point in history, at this place, talking about strategies for involving children in the worship service? Perhaps a little bit of history will help. So I'd like to read a section from an article by Tim Wright called Sunday Schooling Our Kids Out of Church. About 40 years ago, a profound shift took place in many Christian congregations across the country. For all the right reasons, with one troubling and unintended consequence. In the 1960s and 70s, my generation, baby boomers, rebelled against the institutional church just as we did with every other institution our parents built and supported. We rebelled by dropping out. Two-thirds of my generation dropped out of church. In the late 1970s, in the early 1980s, innovative pastors and congregations of all sizes and denominations looked for ways to draw boomers back to church. They began to create worship experiences based on the unique personality of the boomer generation. These churches went contemporary, seeker, and were seeker-friendly. Because these were the primary parenting years for boomers, these congregations recognized the need to not only provide boomer-friendly worship experiences for adults, but the need to create dynamic experiences for their children as well, knowing that if the kids wanted to come back, the parents were more likely to come back. So began a shift from kids worshiping with the big people for 1 hour, followed by all ages attending a Sunday school hour, to churches creating Sunday school experiences for kids that ran concurrently with their parents' worship service. In other words, kids and parents were separated from each other, having different Sunday experiences. Again, the reasons were right, or so we thought, because these new boomer services had a sense of evangelism about them, trying to win boomers back to the church. We didn't want anything to interrupt their focus, like squirming or crying or screaming kids. Church leaders sensed that boomer parents wanted the 1 hour break from their kids. They wanted to focus on their own spiritual life for an hour away from the distraction of their children. And again, we assumed reasonably so, that worship targeted to adult boomers would not be all that engaging for kids. So, dynamic Sunday school programs were created to engage the kids at their level in their language while their parents were in worship. In fact, some churches didn't and don't allow kids into the big people worship at all. The result, many of these innovative congregations had a positive, significant impact on the lives of disenfranchised boomers and their kids. Many saw their congregations and their children's ministries grow exponentially. The evangelism imperative to reconnect with boomers seemed to work. But there was and there is one huge unintended consequence. We have raised the largest unchurched generation in the history of the church. And I think we need to stop and pray. Dear Jesus, that is a sobering thought, that we have raised the largest unchurched congregation in the history of the church. And I pray, Lord, that you will turn back the tide and you will bring young people who are engaged in the church all the way through, not just in their own age groups, not just in their youth groups, but in the church at large, where they become members of the church and they feed off of the preaching of the church and the teaching of the church, and they are involved in the ministries of the church, so that they grow up and they become the next church for the next generation. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while I think there were other contributing reasons for the decline in the church attendance of young people in our country, for creating Sunday school experiences for kids that ran concurrently with their parents' worship service and encouraging children to attend Sunday school rather than the church service, we, the Church of Christ, do bear responsibility. Now, it's not my aim in this seminar to give a rationale of why children should be in the church worship service. That topic was already handled last seminar session by my husband, David, in his seminar, Let the Children Come to Me in Worship. If you missed that seminar, in a couple weeks, you'll be able to get it online at the Children Desiring God Conference. So I'm not going to convince you that children should be in the worship service. I'm going to help you know how to help your congregations to involve those children in the church service. This seminar is dealing with practicalities. The practicalities of encouraging the church and parents in particular to include their children in the church service. So my aim is to give you a strategy as church leaders to encourage the church leadership and the parents in your congregation to have their children attend the church service, and to provide strategies that you can share with the parents in your church to help them make the church service a positive and meaningful experience for their children. Usually, the first question that is asked of us regarding encouraging children to attend the church service is, at what age do you include children in the church service? Well, I'm not going to answer that question for you, because there is no magical age. At our former church, upon graduation from the nursery, which children were graduated at 3 years old, if they were 3 years old by September, if not, they were held until the next graduation, the next September, so some were almost four. So when they went to the preschool department, there was no nursery care for them. So they went to church. Some churches set a later age. Certainly by 5 years old, an appropriately disciplined child should be able to sit through a church service. In the article, The Family Together in God's Presence, this is what John and Noel Piper say in making this point. To sit still and quiet for an hour or two on Sunday is not an excessive expectation for a healthy six-year-old who has been taught to obey his parents. It requires a measure of discipline, but that is precisely what we want to encourage parents to impart to their children in the first 5 years. Thus, the desire to have children in the worship service is part of a broader concern that children be reared so that they are submissive and respectful in every way. 1 Timothy 3:4. Children can be taught in the first 5 years of life to obey their father and mother when they say, sit still and be quiet. Parents' helplessness to control their children should not be solved by an alternative service, but by renewal of discipline in the home. Now, that's good advice. In fact, it's great advice. The solution to undisciplined children is not to accommodate them, it's to discipline them. Now, granted, I really believe if you're a CE leader or a pastor, your job in that regard is a lot harder than it was 20 years ago, before permissive parenting took such a strong hold in our society. Nevertheless, it is part of our calling as church leaders to do what is best for families. And sometimes that may mean teaching a seminar or a class on discipline and training of children. The key concern about when to encourage children to attend the church service is that you want to engage children young enough that attending church is part of the rhythm of life. It's a habit formed in the early years. You know, kids brush their teeth because they grow up brushing their teeth. My children grew up memorizing your Bible verse. It just was part of life. The things that we start as a rhythm of life when we're young tend to continue. In an article entitled Mom Tested Tips, this is what Jason Heliopoulos made about this topic. Many believe that it's harder to introduce a 5-year-old to corporate worship than a 12-year-old. But this is not true. A 5-year-old is in the formative years of training. They are not yet set in their ways. A few months of struggling with a 4- or 5-year-old, teaching them how to sit in corporate worship, yields benefits for the rest of their lives. About 20 years ago, a study was conducted that concluded that children who attend Sunday school but don't attend the church service are more likely not to attend church as adults. Conversely, children who attended church services but didn't attend Sunday school are more likely to attend church as adults, as are those who attend both Sunday school and church. That's pretty telling, I think. So along with parents understanding their responsibility to introduce their children to the worship service, you also want your congregation to understand their corporate responsibility for the faith of the next generation. So it's not just parents, it's everyone in the congregation that needs to understand we have a responsibility to include these children in the church service and incorporate them into the church life. So we're going to talk about strategies for church leaders wanting to include children in the worship services. So if you're a church leader or you have influence on a church leader, here are some strategies church leaders can use. The first step that I would take, if you're a CE leader, would be to talk with the church leaders. Your senior pastor, your other pastors or elders, give them a rationale for including the children in the church service. Now, as I said, I'm not going to give you that rationale. Instead, I'm going to encourage you to listen to David's seminar. Okay? But there are some practical steps that you could take to encourage your pastor and other leaders to encourage families to worship together. The first one, of course, is pray. That God will open the hearts and minds of the leaders and parents in your church to see how important it is that children attend the worship service. John Bunyan said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Secondly, be consciously aware that there are children present and include them in your comments. When we are consciously aware of the presence of someone else, we sometimes make intentional efforts to include them. For example, you've all been in a situation of being a newcomer among a group of friends that have known each other for years. When they start talking about their shared experiences, it's natural to feel a little bit on the outside because you don't have that history that they have together. However, once in a while, when I've been in that situation, I have encountered the rare sensitive person who will pause in the conversation and include me by giving me some background so I can follow that conversation and not feel excluded. Have you ever had that experience? It's not necessarily to comment often. Just the occasional comment makes one feel like, you know what? This gathering is for me too. Pastors can at times do this from the pulpit. For example, defining a difficult word for the children. calling the children's attention to something. Kids, if you're drawing pictures of the sermon, here's a good one to draw. Or children, listen to this. It's really important. When John Piper would do this in our former church, you'd see the kids just sit up. It's like, this is for me. I'm part of this. It doesn't need to be frequent so that it's disruptive, but an occasional comment remembering children is helpful. I think when we notice children in this way, not only do they feel included, but they often work a little harder at understanding what's going on. Situations in which the conversation is just over our heads tend to be boring, and the average person just tends to tune it out. And that's what children do in the church service unless someone is making an effort to help them. I've been in those situations in which a person has taken the time to challenge me, and I found myself rise to the situation. For example, when my husband and another man are discussing a car problem, very boring, very hard to understand. Like, what in the world are they talking about? But when one of them has made the effort to explain the function of a car part to me, at that point, I find myself being challenged to try to understand what they're talking about. After all, if they think I might be able to follow the conversation, maybe I can. I found myself becoming not only a little interested, but also learning a little bit. And children love those challenges. They love it when someone thinks they can do something hard. And a lot of the contents of sermons are way over children's heads, but all of it isn't. And if the child is challenged to listen and to try to understand, that child's going to glean some truth from the sermon. They're not going to glean everything, but they're going to get a tidbit here and a tidbit there and a tidbit over here. Another way of including children through our comments is by not commenting on some things. If we're aware that children are present, at times we'll refrain from saying things, or we'll say things in a more delicate manner. Just as women's conversations change a little bit, there are things that we don't say when there are men in our midst, and I assume you men do the same thing. So we should be careful about who is in our congregation on Sunday morning. I have once in a while cringed at explicit statements regarding sexual situations, considering the effect on our younger generations. Although we don't need to avoid this topic, we should delicately approach it when children are present, preserving the innocence of children. It's important for all of us at times, as much as possible, to thoughtfully be aware of who is in our congregation on any given Sunday. For example, Mother's Day. To be sensitive that there are infertile couples sitting there in the congregation on Mother's Day is a way of ministering to one another. We can do the same things when we minister to children in this way. Next, include children by inviting them to participate when appropriate. Some situations of instances where we can include children more are, for example, commissionings. I mean, I don't know how your church does it, but in the churches that I've been in, when we huddle around missionaries and we invite people to pray for them, okay? Well, we could specifically invite the children to come forward and pray too, especially if that missionary family has children. Say, I want a couple kids up here to pray for the children in the family. I mean, we could include them that way. Or in special services. For example, including children as readers for a Christmas Eve service is a good model for appropriate ways in which to use children to minister to others in the worship service. Sometimes children can participate in leading worship through song, like in a children's choir. Very appropriate way to include children. There is an appropriate way to include children without making things appear cute, but rather meaningful. There are many occasions in which we can include some of our older children in passing the collection plate, passing out or collecting things from the pew after the service, things like that. We have had parents in our church, I just love it when I see this, a dad who takes the son when he's ushering and passing the communion plate, and his son just walks, or the offering plate, and his son walks along with him, and his dad helps him. He's training him to be a church member. He's training him to serve in the church. He's training him to give of himself. Testimonies is another way. A testimony time could occasionally include a testimony from a child. Now, they may need to be coached a little bit, but here's an example. Some of you know Rachel Golias, who is on staff at Children Desiring God. She actually grew up in our ministry at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and now she's working at Children Desiring God. And I just love that. I just think that is, isn't that, it's just wonderful. Well, the night her grandfather died, David visited her family, and he left marveling at the joy that Rachel felt that her grandpa is in heaven. She spoke deep truths, and she shared scripture. And she was a fairly young child. Wouldn't it have been wonderful for the body of believers to hear this child's perspective on God's faithfulness? Now, you probably have children in your congregation who could give such a testimony. Not all the time, not without coaching, but once in a while, we could include children that way. Could we not, on occasion, when we invite people to the front for prayer, also mention that we would love to pray for the children who have a need? I mean, every Sunday we ask, does anybody have a need that they want to have prayed for? There's a prayer team up here. I mean, just simply to say, there might be some children here that you have something you want to pray for. There are people in your church that would love to pray for you. Once in a while, include the children that way. Fighter verses. If your church is memorizing fighter verses, you may ask someone from the congregation to quote the weekly verse. And that's a place where children can participate in the service. I can remember so many times when John Piper said, does someone want to minister to the body through the fighter verse? How many times it was that a child stood up and said that verse. And it just was such a blessing. So, those are some ways. Accommodate children when appropriate. Just as we think to alter things when we're aware of the presence of special needs people in our group, we need at times to alter things for children. We provide hearing devices for the hard of hearing. Sometimes we provide sign language for the deaf. We provide hearing translation for people at this conference. We're providing translation in Spanish. At our former church, we were asked for one service on a Sunday not to wear any perfume so that people with allergies could come to that service. So we accommodate people because the body loves to minister to the body. And the reality is that we could do that from time to time with children too. It is true that when you can't see something, it's very hard to pay attention or get something out of it. Children have that same difficulty. And one of the ways that we accommodated children was when we had a baptism, because our baptismal was in the floor. When we had a baptism, we would just ask the children to come to the front and sit on the floor. That way they could see what was going on. They could be part of it. Cultivate a vision for the privilege and responsibility we have to nurture the faith of children through including them in the worship service. Create a culture where adults don't see children as a distraction, but instead gratefully take advantage of the opportunity to encourage worship in children. We should be thrilled when we see a parent bringing their little children into the church service, because we have a corporate responsibility to train the next generation. Teach the congregation their responsibility to the next generation. One of the ways that we do that is through child dedications. We instruct the church that it's their responsibility to train up the next generation in the fear and instruction of the Lord. It's just a rhythm that we can just, during that opportunity, say what a blessing it is that we have a congregation can nurture these children. And when these parents say amen to this promise, in your heart, we hope that you are saying amen because you care about the faith of the next generation. Because we have that corporate responsibility to train the next generation, the congregation needs to be tolerant of the distractions of little children. Little children can be distracting. And we need to pray for young parents and their children and encourage them. You know, when we would go into the church service sometimes and sit behind a young couple, and they would turn around and see David and I there, the backs would stiffen up. And I know what they're thinking. Oh, the Michaels are behind us. They teach parenting classes, you know, and my child might misbehave. And what I tell parents in a parenting class is, guess what? I know your children are sinners. I know that. And guess what? I know you are too. And so am I. And you know what? When we sit behind you in the worship service, we're praying for you. We are praying that your children will hear the word of God and take it into their hearts. We're praying that you will know how to guide and nurture them and discipline them and instruct them, that you will be a faithful parent. We are not sitting there to see, oh, how are they parenting? We are sitting there as your advocates, your helpers, your encouragers, because we care about the faith of your children. And that's what we as a congregation should do every time there are children sitting near us in the church service. We should be praying for those parents. We should be praying for those children. We should be so thrilled that those parents are bringing their children in there and do everything we can to encourage them and make their job easier. And that instruction should come from the church leaders to the church, because we need to be instructed in that. By the same token, it is true that parents need to be sensitive. There are times when their children are being so destructive and so distracting that they need to be removed for a while from the church service. When possible, have a worship information available to parents before services, either through a bulletin or a church website, in some way so parents know what to expect so they can talk through the service with their children. One of the things that we did that was really helpful was we had a seminar for parents to give them a vision and strategy for involving their children in the worship service. At one time when kids graduated from the nursery, there was a class that was taught to help them get a vision for bringing their children into the worship service, but then also to give them practical strategies for doing that. Help parents to recognize the importance of bringing their children to the worship service and to see the mantle of responsibility they shoulder to nurture the faith and worship of, and worship in their children. So those are things that you can do on the side of helping the church leadership. Now, what can you do to help parents? Because parents need to be instructed. It's just not common sense anymore. So here's some suggestions for helping children participate in the church service. And I'm going to do this as if you were training the children in your church. And I do have a handout for you that gives you the main ideas so that if you wanted to train the parents in your church, you have some things to say. Number one, responsibility. I would tell the parents, recognize that it's your responsibility, it's your job to train your children to sit in the service. It takes effort, and it will be a sacrifice. There are times that you will miss out on concentrated listening, and you're going to need to be prepared for interruptions. There are seasons of life, and the season of child training is actually relatively a short time, unless you're Britain and you have 8 children. It goes on endlessly. But for most of us, it's not as long of a time. God will give you the grace and wisdom to navigate through this time if you depend on Him. So, this is our job. I mean, this is just part of the job description. We're here to train our children. Number two, training. Acknowledge that training is required for your children to participate in the church service. They're not just going to know how to do this. We need to train them. And that doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. It may take a few months to train a young child to be able to not only handle the church service, but look forward to it. It may take longer. Be consistent, keep at it, and your children will learn eventually. Deal with your child in an understanding way. Be patient. Have realistic expectations of your child. It can be hard for some children to sit still and sit quietly For other children, the learning curve is much quicker. Kids are different. Sit in a place where your child is not easily distracted, and you're going to have to experiment to see how that works for your family. Okay, some parents find that sitting in the front means there aren't a lot of distractions in front of their children. Now, of course, the downside of that is if you have to bring your child out, you're walking through the whole church to bring your child out. But there may be little corners or whatever. Find a place that works for your family. If you're training a very active child, young child, you might need to take your child out of the service partway through. Help him to have success by not pushing him beyond his limit. So maybe you're going to start with 10 minutes and see if they can handle 10 minutes, then bring them back to the nursery. And then it's going to be 15 minutes. And you just little by little stretch your child's ability and keep stretching him until that child can sit through the whole service. Now, there's a flip side. We need to be careful not to reward bad behavior by, oh good, I get to take my child out and they can run around in the foyer now. So would you behave? I mean, you have a choice. Sit in the quietly in the service or be taken out and run around in the foyer. So if you have to take your child out, let your child know why he was taken out and that he will still need to sit quietly, but he's going to sit quietly in the foyer. You might need to firmly remind him of your expectations. You may have to enlist the help of a grandparent or a good friend to help you if you have many children. There was a family in our church that had 10 children, and there was a single woman in the church that saw as her ministry to this family to sit with that family of 10 children so that she could help some of those children during the church service. And what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the body working together and single people being involved in the lives of families to help them. She just saw that as that was her ministry, and every Sunday she was there with them. Now, we had one daughter who very easily learned to sit through the church service. Now, the other one was like nailing Jell-O to a tree. It took a little longer with her, and it took one spanking after a service for her to learn to sit in the church service. But at 3 years old, she mastered it. You know, there are many other opportunities during the week that we can take advantage of as parents to train our children to sit quietly and listen attentively, such as when we're waiting in a doctor's office. That's when a child should sit still, maybe look at a book, be quiet, not running around the room. Or if you're doing family worship at home, which I would commend, then your child is learning to sit still and to listen and to take in the Word of God. Children who participate in family worship will more quickly adapt to listening to the reading of the Word, concentrating during prayer, and singing during worship. Because they're not practicing it once a week. They're practicing it on a regular basis. Another thing that I would tell parents is preparation is important. Sunday morning starts Saturday night. So we need to minimize the stress of Sunday morning by being prepared for worship. That means on Saturday night, you have the clothes and the shoes laid out. My daughter, who has three children, has all of their outfits there, tights, dress, shoes, everything, all ready for her children so that when they get up, they know exactly what to put on. It means having the offering ready, their totes packed, and Sunday dinner prepared. If you're going to eat Sunday dinner at home, you got it ready. And have a simple breakfast on Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning should be the time you got a bowl of cereal and you're out the door, or a protein bar, or whatever. I did know a family whose father, it was in high school, and I just thought it was the most sweetest thing. There was a father of a friend of mine who saw that his job on Sunday morning was to get up early and make pancakes for his family. So when people came down for breakfast, those pancakes were on the table. That's a great idea. Yeah. But make it simple. Make it so that you are not rushing around on Sunday morning and snapping at people and looking for a shoe at the last minute so that everybody gets to church out of sorts and harried and, okay, now worship God. It's Sunday morning, start Saturday night. Leave some margin in your Sunday morning schedule for the unexpected, because believe me, it will happen. Satan does not like Sunday mornings, and something unexpected will happen. And leave the house with time to spare. Before the service, take your child to the restroom. Because, inevitably, in the middle of the service, they're going to say they need to go. And then remind your child, you're not going to be able to leave the service because we don't want to miss any part of this. We want to be here for the whole thing. Pray. Ask God how you can make this time a valuable part of your child's spiritual training. Pray for your child's heart. Pray that your child will see God as the greatest treasure and truly worship Him. Pray that the Lord will give your child understanding. Pray that your child will notice the worship of other people and be inspired by it. Pray that God will meet your child in that church service, because God is well able to do that. And then expectations. Remind your child of your expectations of his behavior during the church service. Instruct him that this is a time to participate in singing and praying, and that he must listen quietly. Let the child know this ahead of time. Now, this is what's going to happen. This is what I expect of you. And you need to do this, and you cannot do this. Have clear expectations, and let your child know those expectations. We had a family in our church, and one of the things this mother did, she told me about, was she said, I just brought a purse to church, and in that purse I had two things. I had a package of M&Ms, and I had a wooden spoon. And my kids knew at the end of the service they were going to get one of those. And she said, you know, if they started to act up, all I had to do was open that purse and let them see what was in it. Well, that's one tactic, I guess. So, anyways, let them know your expectations. Be proactive in preparing your child for the service by talking through the service ahead of time. If there's a baptism that's planned, and that's why it's helpful if a church has something on their website, or if you can get there a few minutes early and there's a bulletin. If there's a baptism that's planned, explain the meaning and the process to your child. Explain what communion is and your expectation of your child. Let him know that he's not going to get a cracker and some juice when it comes by. And why he's not going to get that cracker and that juice, but that someday you are praying that he will love the Lord and he will belong to the Lord, and he will be able to take that communion with the adults. And he'll be able to participate with the family of God. Model. Be a role model for your child. Start your morning with a positive attitude, a cheerful tone, a spirit of anticipation and enthusiasm, and a heart for worship. Participate authentically in singing during the worship service and engage your heart in corporate prayer. Look up passages in your Bible and take notes. You know, it's very hard to cultivate in someone else something that's not in your own heart. If it's not growing in your own heart, it's going to be very hard to cultivate it in your children. If you want your children to worship God, go and worship Him yourself. Because children can spot genuine worship, and it's very infectious. And so just let them see that you love hearing the Word of God. You love bowing your head in prayer to the Lord. You love singing His praises. Instruction. If your child has a bulletin or post the order of service, acquaint your child with the parts of the service ahead of time. If there's a responsive reading, practice it at home if that information is available to you, so your child can participate. If it's not available to you, you can tell them what a responsive reading is. When it says congregation, they read that. When it says leader, they don't read that part. And you can even practice at home. Read the sermon passage and talk about its meaning at home, if you have that ahead of time. So it's familiar to your child when the pastor preaches the sermon. If you've read that text and you've talked a little bit about it, when that pastor starts to talk about it, your child's going to perk up. They've heard this before. This is for them. Teach your child a worship song that will be sung, or even just a chorus of it. If he can't learn the whole hymn or the whole song, teach him the refrain and signal to him when it's time to sing that part so he knows to listen for that part. We're going to sing this song this week and we're going to practice it, and I'll let you know when the part comes that you know how to sing and you can sing with everybody else. Pray with your child before the service starts. Don't just pray about their behavior, but pray for spiritual fruit in their lives. So that you sit down with your child and say, let's pray that you learn to love God this morning and that you hear something from His Word that will teach you something about how great and how wonderful He is. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give him understanding of God's truth and that your child will have a heart of worship. Pray for good things. Don't just pray, Lord, help so-and-so to sit still. That's okay to pray that, but pray for the deep spiritual things that you want to happen so that your child hears your heart for what you want him to gain from this church service. Participation. Remember that you are training your child not just to sit quietly in church and behave, but to worship the Lord. Encourage your child to participate in as much of the service as he can. And this is where instruction at home can make a difference in your child's participation. Prepare your child with a repertoire of hymns and choruses learned at home. You can get worship songs, you can get choruses that you know are sung in your church, or hymns, and just start learning them at home so they're familiar to your child. Encourage him to participate in the singing and not just looking around, because kids are going to be there looking around. But just take him by the hand, put your arm around him, start singing, get down so that your child can see you singing, and encourage him to sing along with you. If your church uses a hymn book or a song book, move your finger along the word as the words are sung, even if your child is not a reader. By doing that, you're focusing your child's attention. He's not looking around. He's realizing there's something going on here, and he's being part of it. You're encouraging him to be engaged. Help your child with responsive readings by showing him what part to read. Teach your child to stand at appropriate times. You know, when the congregation stands, your child should stand too. Shouldn't be sitting in the chair, because he's part of the body. When the rest of the congregation is standing, he should be standing. When he should bow his head in prayer, and when clapping is appropriate. Encourage active participation, not passive observation. And explain to your child why participation is important. Now, you're not going to want to encourage conversation during the church service, but you can use transition moments to give a short, brief exclamation to your child or encourage his faith. Perhaps you might say something like, oh, I love this verse. It's not a long conversation, it's a little word to touch that child's heart. Or, I love what this song says about God. Oh, here's my favorite song. You know, or, oh, that was so good. I mean, just a little comment to let your child know your heart is engaged and to help pull his or her heart into that engagement as well. It's a very simple way to keep them engaged, refocusing them on worship or encouraging their faith. Now, instruct your child ahead of time. It's not a time for conversation. Mommy might say something to you once in a while. It's just a short little thing to say, but we'll have conversations after church. I think perhaps in today's age, one of the more neglected part of the service by adults and children is the participation in the offering. And I think that's because so many adults give to the church electronically instead of putting money in the offering plate. But to me, when that offering plate goes by, that's a part of worship. You're saying, God, I love you more and I trust you more than anything this money can buy. And I want my children to see that. My husband still writes a check out every single week, and every single week he puts it in the offering plate. When our kids were little, he gave their allowances first in dimes. So all they had were dimes, because then it was really easy for them to figure out how they could give money to the church. Later on, it was quarters. Never really got much beyond quarters. But they knew that was time for them. And we explained to them, when you put that quarter in the offering plate, you're saying, God, I love you more than money. God, I trust you more than anything. anything this money could buy. God, you are more of a treasure to me than anything else in my life. So don't let that offering plate just go by. Let your child see you put something in it, and let your child participate in giving as well. Yes, it takes more effort to write a check and put it in the offering plate, but in so doing, you are showing your child that you honor God with your money. Giving your offering is an act of worship. It's not just a collection of money. You are showing your child that some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 96:8 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." We are worshiping him when we give to him. Your child can participate in worshiping the Lord this way as well. Have your child bring an offering every week and place it in the plate. Explain that this is a way of telling the Lord that you trust him to care for you. And then focused listening. One goal of having a child attend the church service is for the child to become an active listener. This is a discipline that's developed over time as little by little by little your child focuses his attention on the sermon. Now, how do you do this? It's helpful to quietly whisper instructions to your child, such as, "Oh, listen to this story," or, "Can you draw a picture of what the pastor is saying?" Now, it's not a time, again, of long instruction, but just short statements to focus a child's attention. It's also not a time for your child to whisper back to you. When a child is young, ask your child to listen to the sermon and draw a picture of something from the sermon. Now, this should not be seen as a time for doodling, but for active listening. So, listen to what Pastor John is saying, or listen to what Pastor Mark is saying. And when you hear something that you can draw a picture of, you draw a picture of what he's talking about. Now, if your child is young and has a hard time sitting for a long time, after he has listened to the sermon for a while, you may want your child to look at some small, non-distracting Bible story books. Now, I say small because if your child has a big book with big pages, it can be very distracting for other people. But if it's a little book and it has Bible stories that you've read your child and he's familiar with those Bible stories, guess what he's thinking about as that sermon is going on? So after he's listened for a while, give him those Bible story books today to listen, look at. Now, it's not a time for Barbie books or My Little Pony, but for books that will focus your child on God. As your child gets older and learns to write, model for him how to take notes. So what I would do is I would get a notebook and I would sit with my notebook very visible to my children, and I would write in big letters very simple notes, and they would sit there and they would just copy them. And then as they got a little older, they started taking their own notes. But it was a way to teach them how to listen and be an active listener. We kept a spiral notebook that was only used for church. It was in their church bag. So get a spiral notebook specifically for Sunday morning, or Children Desiring God just came out with a church notebook called Let the Children Come. They're coming out with one called Let the Children Come, which are for non-readers, which should be coming out soon. But we just came out with one called Come Into His Presence for readers. And it's just a way that your child can take notes. Eventually, all they need is a blank spiral notebook because they'll have learned how to take notes. Put together a tote bag of things for your young child that when he gets to his limit of what he can listen and participate in, he can be occupied but still focusing on God. So it might be the Bible story books, a pad with, I would encourage twistable colored pencils or twistable crayons, because markers smell and they're also noisy. So I like the twistables for that reason. You could bring a Bible coloring book, or the Children Desiring God Old Testament and New Testament coloring books, or the Fighterverse coloring book. So things that will focus your child on God while they are learning to listen, and eventually they should be able to listen to the whole thing and take their own notes. Encouragement. You want your child's worship experience to be as positive as possible, so look for ways to encourage your child, whether it be for participation in the singing, for good behavior, for something drawn or written in his notebook, friendliness to others, whatever. So encourage your child to say, I really loved how you were singing with the rest of us. That was just, it just made my heart happy to see you singing with the church. Encourage your child by commenting what a blessing it is to be able to go to church together as a family and to have him in service with you. I'm so glad that you can be here with mommy and daddy in the church service. That makes me really happy. Another thing I would say is acknowledge your child's feelings. A church service is a long time for a child to sit still, and some sermons can be quite boring for children, and some can be quite long. My children grew up in John Piper's church. We were there for 33 years. John Piper uses big words. He does not preach short sermons. And it's not, his sermon is not real accessible to young children, although it is somewhat accessible. And I remember I was on a committee one time for the church about just ways the church was going to move forward and what kind of things we should plan. And I came home after that meeting, and the next day I said to my girls, what can we do to make our church a better place? Do you have any ideas? Well, Christy had an idea right away. She said, shorter sermons. She said, you know, Mom, the sermons are kind of boring. And you know what? It's not helpful at that point for a parent to say, no, they're not. Because what does that mean for the child? There's something wrong with you. Those sermons aren't boring. Acknowledge your child's feelings. So I said, you know what, Christy? I can understand why those sermons seem boring for you. Pastor John uses a lot of big words, and he does talk for a long time. But you know what? They're not boring for me. I can't wait to hear Pastor John preach on Sunday mornings. It's just so wonderful to hear what he has to say about the Word of God. Someday, you're going to feel that way. It's not today. But you know what? Little by little, you're going to understand more and more of what he says. And if you pray and ask God to help you listen and to understand, little by little, you'll understand what he's saying, and it won't be boring for you. By the time she was in sixth grade, and we would go on vacation, visiting other churches while we were on vacation, this is what she was saying. Oh, I can't wait to get back to Bethlehem and hear Pastor John preach. Nobody preaches like him. I love Pastor John's sermons. That's the Holy Spirit working in a child's heart to bring fruit from his word. And you know what? To this day, that young girl is very grateful for 29 years of sitting under Pastor John's preaching, and so grateful for the eternal truths she learned from that man. And your children can have that same experience if you work with them and you train them and you pray for them. Discipline. Though it might be hard for your child to sit quietly during a church service, as you stretch your child's ability to do so, there are going to be times when your children are disobedient. They're not just childly. It's not just childish immaturity, but it's disobedience that comes into the mix, and you're going to have to do something about it. And at these times, your child needs to be disciplined. We cannot be controlled by the fear that disciplining a child for not behaving in church will cause our child not to like church. At times, every good parent has to do what is best for their child, and the child needs to be under authority and to learn to obey, even when it's hard to obey. And I remember the time that David had to march Christy out, and he found a little play corner in the church, and he took care of her. And it was really hard for her. But she was starting to get it and learning and doing a good job. And I remember one Sunday night, because it was Sunday morning and Sunday night for my kids. One Sunday night, I had a bag of M&Ms, and I brought them with me. And I said, you know what, Christy? I know how hard you are working. And I know it's hard, but I want you to know, if you sit quietly and listen and participate in the church service, I will have a bag of M&Ms for you. And boy, that kid, she did it, and she worked hard at it, and she participated. And at the end, she got her bag of M&Ms. Well, you know what happens when you're the pastor's kid. You're the last people to leave the church, right? So here's this little girl with her bag of M&Ms, and she was 3 or 4 years old. I don't remember. Probably three, actually. And she had her bag of M&Ms, and she went around and all these kids, and she's passing out M&Ms to them, and they're all happy because they're getting M&Ms. And then all of a sudden, the bag is empty. And I said to her, "Oh, Christy, I'm so sorry you didn't get any M&Ms. Oh, Mom, it was so much fun. Everybody was happy." This is when I knew this kid had a gift of giving. Review. Talk about the service on the way home. Positively. This is not a time to tear down the worship leader or the pastor or what you didn't like about the service. Children are going to take their cues from their parents. If you're critical, they will be too. Mention those points in the sermon that were really helpful and how they affected you. Tell your child how God dealt with you during the church service. Encourage your child to share his impressions. What did you learn about God today from the church service? How did God touch your heart? Did you have any questions during the church service or the sermon? Encourage him to share his drawings or notes. Comment on them and ask questions about them. I remember one time looking at Christy's notes during the church service, and this was when she was old enough to read and write, and Pastor John was talking about principalities and powers, and I saw her looking at her notes afterwards to go through them with her, and she said, "Who is principalities?" Well, I mean, children make sense out of what they can make sense out of. But that gave me a great opportunity to explain to her what principalities is. Principalities is not a person. Relax. Sometimes parents are reluctant to take their children to the service because they are afraid their children will misbehave and they will be judged as bad parents. And I remind parents, as I said, that I know their kids are sinners, and they are too. And so kids will misbehave. And it is not the body's job to judge their parenting. But hopefully, little by little, that child is learning to be under the control of his parents first, and then after conversion, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And our job as onlookers is to pray for that child's heart and the parents. I think it's good to remind the parents that their aim is to please the Lord and not to perform for other people. They're not going to handle everything appropriately, but by God's grace, they will handle many things appropriately. And by God's grace, their hearts will be committed to nurturing the faith of their children. When a child is disruptive, a conscientious, polite parent will remove that child and deal with the situation. And a loving, faithful congregation, when they see that parent walking out with that child, needs to be praying for that parent and that child. Because we are a body committed to growing up the next generation in the faith. And both the parents and the congregation must have patience and grace as we teach these little ones and as they are learning the ways of God. As a body of believers, we must rejoice when we see them participating with us. We must have patience and understanding when parents are training their children to sit in church. And for the most part, we should be thanking the Lord that those children are there. There is a different kind, a different intensity of worship that happens during a worship service than at any other time. We cannot duplicate it at home. We cannot duplicate it in a Sunday school Sunday school class. Children need to see the body of believers worshiping God together. They need to see their pastor passionately preaching the great truths of the Bible and expounding the great mysteries of God. They need to see their parents wipe away tears when they are moved by the Word, sing with enthusiasm about the greatness of God, and agree with the truth of the Word. They need to see the body of believers solemnly contemplating their sin and rejoicing in forgiveness during a communion service. They need to see the body of believers exalting in God's grace in a sinner's life during a baptism. They need to feel the burden of others in prayer. They need to see a reverence for God and His Word. They need to see that their parents and their family are not the only ones who worship this great God, but they are part of a great company of witnesses, a body of believers, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God and to each other. They need to see, I am part of the family of God. I belong here. This depth of experience is not going to happen in children's church or in Sunday school. They need to be in the church service. When a parent comes to David and I and says, should I bring my child to Sunday school or to church? We say, well, if you have to make a choice, bring them to the church service. But I really hope you can bring them to the church service and to Sunday school. Consider this quote by John and Noel Piper in their article, The Family Together in God's Presence. Worshiping together counters the contemporary fragmentation of families. Hectic American life leaves little time for significant togetherness. It is hard to overestimate the good influence of families doing valuable things together week in and week out, year in and year out. Worship is the most valuable thing a human can do. The cumulative effect of 650 worship services spent with mom and dad between the ages of 4 and 17 is incalculable. This is not something you want your children to miss. This is not something you want the children in your church to miss. So let's pray that God will give a vision to parents and churches to include their children. Dear Jesus, what a privilege it is to worship You in the body of believers. What a privilege we have of going to church Sunday after Sunday with no fear of being jailed or policemen coming in or being hauled away and having our heads chopped off. What a privilege we have. And Lord, what a privilege it is for our children to be there and hear Your word and see people worshiping You and lifting their hands in prayer and praying for the body and repenting of sin. And Lord, I pray that You will stem the tide of change that has excluded children from the church service. I pray that parents would take up the responsibility to train their children and not succumb to the easy road of not having to bother with them. And I pray, Lord, that You would give them a heart for having their children in the church service, for encouraging their children to worship together. I pray that You will give pastors and elders and church leaders the heart to encourage families to worship together. And I pray, Lord, that You would raise up from among these people a great company of witnesses, that their children might stand around the throne and worship You with all the saints. In Jesus' name, amen.